put it down. Put it down, sit down. And there's nothing there. Okay. Okay. All right. Here we go. Take those off. Continuing.
Okay. So, self-awareness. What is percentage, and I know maybe it's silly, but for me, what is the percentage of how self-aware I am?
And what would your estimation be?
Well, my original one was 55, but then you said it's 32-50, so I would say 43.
I would say 40.
40, okay. I was trying to use my intuition, but the arrow kept oscillating. Okay. And what is it for the usher?
Say 40.
Ah, okay. It's a tie. So, clearly, self-awareness is different. Well, percentage of self-awareness is clearly different from percentage of shifted. Because for shifted, you gave us somewhere around our upper 70s or even 80, and for self-aware, you gave us 40. So, self-aware, I think I overslept the definition, but what is self-aware versus present versus shifted?
What I would say is, in relation to your questions about percentages in relation to shifted, if you were 100% self-aware, you would be 100% shifted. Mm-hmm. When you ask that question about shifted, I'm responding to that in relation to accumulated knowledge of what you have assimilated. And in that, also experiences that you have allowed yourselves to engage. Therefore, that may be in relation to lessening some aspects of separation and the accumulation of information and knowledge that you have generated. Self-aware is precisely that. It is your awareness of self. Your awareness of your being and who you are, what you are. It would be your awareness of yourself in all capacities, independent of constructs. With no attachments of constructs. That doesn't mean you don't engage any constructs, but you are aware of them to the point where you know what they are, you know what their influences are, and you know what your choices are in relation to them.
And being present is a piece of that, I guess.
Being present, yes, is a significant piece of it. But once again, if you are entirely self-aware, you would be present. You would be shifted. If you are speaking about being shifted, you can have a considerable amount of knowledge. And you can incorporate a considerable amount of experiences and not necessarily be tremendously self-aware.
So someone like Togi, you said he's probably 100% shifted, but that he probably is very significantly self-aware as well.
I would express that he would fall into that percentage also of between 30 and 50. I would express that, no, he is not an exception to that.
Interesting.
In relation to being self-aware. When you are self-aware, you don't need that formula. You are aware of every moment, what you are projecting, what you are reflecting, what your choices are in every moment. If you are self-aware, it would be entirely unnecessary for you to present why questions to myself. That would be irrelevant. You wouldn't present why questions to myself. You present them because you aren't self-aware. I would express that there would not be questions, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I create that? Or am I creating this? If you were self-aware, you would know that. And you would know the why. You would know what you were doing, when you were doing it, and why you are doing it. Because you would be aware of all of the constructs, which would be all the whys and the reasons for. And you would be aware of what you were doing. And you would also be aware of the bigger picture, so to speak. Because being self-aware also includes being experientially aware of interconnectedness. I am not expressing the idea of interconnectedness in the actions of being aware of merging occasionally, or being aware of a different action, such as creating a group being that in itself is an expression of separation. Because it is a being. Therefore, in being self-aware, it is not necessary to generate those types of distinctions. You are aware of your existence in a physical reality that includes aspects of separation and individuality, but you are aware beyond that, and in that, it is not necessary to express in those continued directions of singularities that you continue to function in those singularities because you exist in a physical reality. Mm-hmm. But in relation to what you do, there aren't those distinctions that include that singularity, such as a group being. Not that a group being isn't real. But that does not indicate self-awareness. I would also express that in relation to self-awareness, you are also aware of not only everything that you do and what the implications of that is, but how you are affecting of everything else because of that interconnection, because you are experientially aware of that interconnection.
Okay, so how would I, for example, and I know it's a very difficult question to answer, but where I somehow magically, where I move into 100% self-awareness right now. I mean, one experience I have is when occasionally I am feeling that my mind is not chattering anymore and I am not feeling separated that much. I am feeling like I am relaxed more and that tree outside is very welcoming to me and is part of me. I'm feeling this room a little bit part of me. That is probably moving closer to that.
Yes, you have moments of that.
But
yes.
How would I, but again, it's probably very difficult to answer, but where I do, if I take a pill and I all of a sudden self-aware 100% for 5 minutes, how would I see the world? Would I see energy necessarily? Would I see auras around everything? Would I see energy
Not
flowing around everything? when I see some numbers accompanying everything, when I see some schematics, that if I feel something in somewhere across the globe, in Poland, somebody is affected, how would I see that somebody in Poland is affected? I mean, how would my perception change?
You wouldn't necessarily see that in relation to other individuals. You might be aware of feeling it. You would be aware of more feelings. You would also be aware that everything that you attribute to yourself isn't you alone. Mm-hmm. That if you have a thought, if you have an idea, if you have an inspiration, that it isn't you alone. That every thought that you have, there are other energies mingled with it. Every idea that you have, every inspiration that you have, every experience that you have is not singularly you. You would be more inclusive in your awareness of yourself as essence and incorporate a greater realization and understanding of all your other focuses, but not as separate entities. And not as only belonging to you. Mm-hmm. That everything that is about you, or almost everything that is about you, isn't necessarily about you singularly, except your feelings. Your feelings are yours. Because your feelings are generated by your body individually. Therefore, whatever feelings you have, emotional or physical, those are definitely yours in a singular manner. And your perception, therefore your hue of reality is yours. But you would be more aware of the influences in a much greater capacity than what you see now or what you are aware of now. Even as I expressed your experiences, you smash your toe, your perception is that you did that to your body, and you see how you did it in a physical capacity, and that is your experience alone. It isn't. But that is how you perceive it. Mm-hmm. Does that necessarily mean that you will be moving through life with this tremendously expanded perception in which your vision, your senses, your everything is entirely different? No, because you also are in a physical reality and have the choice to continue to experience in this physical reality with that inclusion of singularity, but you are aware of beyond it. And let me express to you, the alteration of perception in relation to thought and experience that it isn't singular, that in itself changes a considerable volume of what you interpret. I would also express that an enormous part of this would be that factor of interconnectedness, experientially incorporating the awareness and the knowing of that interconnectedness. That doesn't mean how you interpret it now. How you interpret it now is what you were expressing an explanation previously. I see the tree, I feel the tree, I know I am connected with the tree, I am momentarily feeling that the tree and I are the same or are one, but you only feel that momentarily, and it is a feeling. Being self-aware and aware of interconnectedness allows you to be aware of that ripple. How you, in whatever you do, however you express yourself, even if in what you think of now as being small aspects such as a tone of voice or an inflection or a gesture, you are aware of how every moment of that is affecting. It emphasizes self-responsibility, that you are responsible for everything you do and every choice you engage. And you are aware of how that is affecting you yourself and how it is rippling. And not only in relation to the individuals around you, but everywhere.
My God.
That is a significant difference. I would express that that is an enormous piece that none of you are aware of yet. That you don't have that experience yet. And you don't have that self-awareness yet. You don't see how you ripple. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, you see how you ripple in relation to what is immediately around you. Mm-hmm. But you don't see how you ripple even throughout your world. And that is only one very small piece. Mm-hmm. Even in your own reality. In your own reality, you incorporate an entire universe. You are one small planet in an entire universe. You don't see how you are affecting merely through your world, not to mention your entire universe and beyond that. But in being self-aware, you know that.
How do you see that? You feel it? You see it graphically, visually?
You don't necessarily see it visually. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily feel it either. You can. But you don't necessarily. It is a knowing. Mm-hmm.
May I ask a simple question? You said that when you smash your toe, you think it's your creation only. And you said it's not. How is it?
Because you aren't singular, and because you are interconnected, therefore, there is never a time in which all of these energies are not mingling. And therefore, all energies are intertwined and are influencing and affecting. You create the manifestation.
Okay, but when you talk about whose energies are you talking about? The world, people around you, surround you.
All of it.
So all of it contributed to this moment when you smashed your toe.
So you chose how to manifest that.
Okay.
You chose.
So you are the vessel
to smash the toe.
Okay, you are the vessel.
In a manner of speaking.
So it goes back to this, when we were walking down the street and fishermen pull out the fish, we contributed, fishermen contributed, the fish contributed, everybody, right, and beyond to us meeting that fish.
So basically caught. Any action, anything besides our feelings is not really ours.
It is, but it is more than that.
So
it isn't that it isn't yours. It isn't singularly yours. Okay.
So someone who, so before we met you and before the Asheret says and so on, we perhaps felt that we affect almost nothing or choose nothing. Then we create our own reality and we incorrectly assumed that we create all of it singularly. And now we are moving.
You do create all of it.
All of it, but now
but
we are moving.
But when you say you, you don't mean you. It's physical.
I do mean you.
But now we are moving into this delicate balancing act where you completely responsible for your choices and you make them and you create them, but everything is so influencing and interflowing and interconnected that when you say, I smashed my toe, it's not just that you put that stone in there and you put that street in there and you put that toe in there, but that street flows from somewhere also and that brick flows from somewhere and the reasoning for you smashing it may be offering from many places and you experiencing pain may be rippling to many places, right? So now you have a fabric. So you have the final say into focusing that fabric to appear a certain way in a certain place at a certain time, but what that fabric consists of, all the colors, all the matter in it, all the people in it, all the animals in it, all of that is flowing within you and from around you and so on.
Yes.
Right?
You are creating all of your reality. Because your perception projects outward and it creates the actual physical manifestations. It creates matter. Mm-hmm. And in that, you are creating all of your reality every moment. You are creating the translation of it all, mm-hmm. individually. But are you singularly creating that independent of anything else? No. Never.
Okay, so continuing this line, what are the tools? I know you will say that you are talking from the onset of this forum. How do you become more aware now? That we are more aware, incorporated more information.
You begin with what I have expressed here. You begin with paying attention to what you are doing. and therefore becoming more aware of what energy you are projecting.
That is hard, because yesterday you mentioned a very interesting thing, that you may feel perfect, good mood and stuff, and boom, all of a sudden.
And because you don't know. What did I say?
That you have no idea
what you're
projecting. Be aware of what
you are doing, not what you are feeling.
I know that. But how do I know what am I doing? Because at what level what I'm doing? That's my question, I guess. Because I know that I'm walking, or I'm thinking, or I'm doing this, or I'm doing that. I'm doing this with good moral neutral mood, or I'm doing it being irritated, or but I'm despite I'm doing it, I'm pushing or not pushing, but because I have to. So I'm quite aware. When I said, I'm quite aware of those things. And when I said, when you were asking how aware are you, I incorporated awareness only to I'm aware that how I feel, whatever I'm doing. So that's why I said 80% during the public session. But again, boy, I'm lost already.
Yeah.
How do I know what I'm doing in on a greater level? How do I become more aware? I know of my mood. I know of what I feel. Maybe I may not always put it in words. I just know that I feel something. But how do I know what energy I'm projecting? What I'm doing? Because to me, from the outside, I'm not doing anything special. You know, I'm not doing anything to.
That is the reason that I expressed the example with the kitchen. That all of you could understand that when you walk into your kitchen, you are not doing anything special for the most part,
yeah.
Unless you are creating a dinner party. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, in your everyday life, in your everyday routines, for the most part, when you walk into your kitchen, you are not doing anything special. You are not perceiving that any of the choices that you are generating in that moment, in that room, are important. That is the reason that I used that as an example. Because all of you have a kitchen. Mm-hmm. And all of you visit it very frequently. And in that, it was to emphasize that those actions that you do in the kitchen are equally as important as those actions that you think of as being big and important. Now, again, I will reiterate that. Let me express to you that you think of the subject and the action of purchasing a house is a big subject. Yes. That is a big choice.
Yes.
That is a more important choice.
Yes.
The subject of cooking an egg,
you know, it's no risk.
Is not important at all. It is insignificant.
Well, for me it is.
Now, you may purchase a house once in 5 years. You may, in that time, incorporate one to 3 months evaluating, but you're not paying attention to it every moment of the day, in every day, in that 1 to 3 months. And in that, you are entertaining the idea of that choice, let us say, once every 5 years, once every 10 years, once every 20 years. You might do that 5 times in your lifetime. Mm-hmm. Or you might do it once in your lifetime. you might engage cooking eggs once or twice every day in your life.
Yes.
Every day. That is a much greater volume of energy than once in your lifetime. Therefore, the energy and what you are doing when you are cooking that egg is actually more significant. That is a bigger or more significant choice than buying the house.
And more so, it may affect what kind of house we get and how easily we get it. And how
precisely, because that is an energy you are engaging every single day. And what type of energy are you doing when you are preparing that egg every single day? What are you reinforcing every single day? Are you reinforcing contentment? Are you reinforcing abundance? Are you reinforcing confidence? Are you reinforcing not enough? Are you reinforcing rushing? Are you reinforcing pushing? What are you reinforcing? You do that every single day.
I don't see that I'm doing it badly for me. I think that if you're talking about eggs, I'm reinforcing good energy.
Are you?
Most of the time.
Are you?
You may be in
Are you aware every day what you are doing when you are cooking that egg? No, you are not.
You may be thinking about what's going on later, that we must leave, or you are late for an appointment, or you are late for the window, or you are late here.
Hurry up, push, push. You might be in a direction of you are concentrating on some other subject and you don't want to be interrupted while you are watching the egg cook. There are many different actions you may be engaging. Are you aware of that every day? No.
Maybe these are last few eggs and you're thinking that you will go later and buy
them. Okay, I get an idea, okay.
That is the point. And this is what you do. You generate this evaluation that there are certain choices that you make infrequently that are large and that are significant. And then there are choices that you do every day that you don't even recognize as choices. They are merely actions that you do every day. And in that, they are small and unimportant. That is what I was illustrating to all of you in that example. That you don't realize, because you aren't aware, because you aren't paying attention to what type of energy you are projecting, because you aren't aware of what you are doing, that you could be cooking those eggs as you do every morning, and you could be thinking about some other action or preparing to go to some destination while you are cooking those eggs. And in the midst of that, your partner may ask you a question and you might be slightly, not tremendously, slightly irritated with that interruption of your thought process, or that it is an interruption of your preparation of the egg. Don't bother me with this question in this moment, it might not be tremendously irritating to you, but you don't notice that in that moment, your energy moved in a certain direction and you held it. And later in that day, a different action, an entirely different action, can occur. And that energy that was held from the egg now enters into the other action. And from that, later in the day again, another action can occur. And you might not be generating a significant conflict. You might not be. But your attitude may be slightly affected. Your energy is affected. And the point is, you keep accumulating that energy. You keep reinforcing it. You keep doing it. And you don't see it. Just as that excellent example with Lila and the ice cubes. I pull out the ice tray. This is so mundane. How quickly do you do that action? I pull out the ice tray. I notice that it is not full. I remove two of the ice cubes and I begin to put the ice tray back into the freezer. Not full. But she stopped. She stopped and questioned herself, why am I putting this back not full? She might be putting it back not full because she perceives she doesn't have enough time to fill it. Or she isn't in the mood to fill it. Or she doesn't want to fill it. It matters not. There is a reason that she didn't fill it. And that will carry through to something else. Now, how simple is that to not notice whatsoever? Pull out the ice tray. Take out two cubes of ice, put it back, never give it a thought. Close the freezer, move on with your day. Are you aware that you are storing energy? And that was an excellent example in relation to what individuals are so frequently expressing to myself. I want to create abundance. I want to create more. And you want to create more, and you didn't fill up the ice tray. You left it half empty.
Yes. Yes, but the question is your attitude towards the empty ice tray. If she was perfectly fine, it would have been fine to leave it.
If she was perfectly fine with the ice tray being empty, but expressing, I want to create abundance. No. How are you displaying choices and actions that are in harmony with abundance if you leave it half empty?
Mm-hmm. This is why you express to someone who wanted to grow taller or something like that to get a larger steak or vice versa, right? Because you small things. It almost looks to me like the material world, not to dismiss it at all, but it's like a shadow. And the energy is like our body, and we cannot be chasing shadows. We have to start with the body, which makes the shadows.
Yes, yes, yes. Excellent metaphor. Excellent. Yes.
Okay, fine. Let's come back to these simple examples. Once you notice that you were in this already, he already interrupted me. He screwed up the morning eggs.
Which is the reason that we have the formula. Because I am aware that you aren't aware.
Yeah.
That is the reason that I gave you the formula.
So you use the formula even with the eggs?
Yes! Because you felt something.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you were interrupted, as soon as you had a reflection, you felt something. And there you are. Now you have an opportunity to use that formula. Because that feeling is your signal in your reaction, which is the end.
Because blaming me will not help. Not because I'm perfect.
I know, I
but
know.
But because it wouldn't help you.
It's my
because,
pain.
Yeah.
Which she already understands, but that doesn't mean she has the tools or the awareness to do something different. That is why I gave you the formula. Because by the time you react, that is the end.
Yeah, exactly.
That is the end of the scenario.
Yeah, and I feel trapped because I already reacted. I did something bad,
yes.
So to speak.
Yes, then you discount yourself.
Yes.
And then you move into these spirals.
What so I may not blame him, but I will still blame myself.
What I am expressing to you is that is the point. You begin at the end. The reaction is the end. What is the original formula? You project, you reflect, and you either react or you choose. That is the original formula. Now I'm giving you another formula that you can use to see the original formula. Because you begin with the end. You reacted. You didn't choose. You reacted.
Yes.
Therefore, now you have the opportunity to see from your reaction. You begin with your reaction. What did you feel? What does that mean? What does it all mean together? What does it all equal together? That is the reflection. That is where the reflection begins. Now you can trace, because you can see that is the reflection. Therefore, the reflection is moving backward. And now I am at the beginning. You're moving from the end to the beginning because that is easier for you to see.
Okay, can we work on this example with X?
Yes.
My X.
Yes, yes.
So I got interrupted. My energy radius is stirred in a different direction that I don't like. So what do I feel? I feel irritated. Why I feel irritated? Because I was interrupted. But why doesn't matter? I feel irritated. What it means to me is that X may not come out so well, they may not digest so well, and it may reflect on the rest of my day. That's what it means to me. Now, what does it mean?
Now, what is that all equal?
That's what I'm thinking. What it all equals is... I'm not in control, I guess.
You aren't in control. Yeah. Someone else is generating your choices.
Yeah.
Someone took your choices away.
Right.
Now you begin with that. That is where the other individual began. Someone took the choices away. And then they are expressing from there back to you. Therefore, in all of that, that includes the meaning, the feeling, all of that, the other individual is projecting back to you. They are not doing it the same way that you did it.
Yeah.
They are expressing differently, but that is the energy they are projecting back to you. Now you can see, because of the energy that they are projecting back to you, Now you can see what you did. Now you can see what your energy was. Is that important? What other choices do I have in this situation?
So it
exactly,
may be,
that's
so,
my
wait,
question.
Wait a
moment.
So it may have been that prior to me interrupting her, she was already either upset about lack of eggs or the way the fat is performing, or maybe she was thinking something totally different and feeling not in control, but she was somehow already projecting.
I was prepared to be interrupted,
yes,
and to react. That's what it
she
is.
Was already projecting,
yeah,
that
eggs
energy.
Are just an excuse, yeah.
Yeah.
I was ready already, but let's come back to choices.
Very well.
What choices do I have? Now, it's already done. And I am sitting there irritating. Okay, I have choices. What kind of choice do I have now? What do I do with all the sex that didn't come out?
What do I do with him?
Now, yes, you have choices. First, you can evaluate. You can ask yourself, how important is this? Are those eggs being perfect tremendously important? Will your day hinge on those eggs being perfect? Are they that important?
No.
Can you choose something else to consume? Yes, you can.
Yes.
Are the eggs being perfect important? No. Then you have other choices.
Okay.
Is it important that you push? How important are you? Let us say that the reason that you are irritated that you were interrupted is also in that feeling not in control, that you are also feeling obligated. Because generally, you are feeling more than one feeling at a time. Mm-hmm. Let us say that you are preparing the eggs and you are about to engage a trip. That you are going to an appointment, or you are going to your family, whatever it may be. You are about to leave the house and go somewhere. And you are on a schedule. And you are somewhat rushing. What enters into that is obligation. You are obligated to be at a particular destination at a particular time. Mm-hmm. And in that outside source is dictating that.
Yeah.
What is more important? You? Or that outside source that is dictating that? Is it more important for you to incorporate your meal with your eggs, and if they are ruined, you can make more?
Yes.
Or you can consume something else, but you can make more. In that, is it important that the eggs are perfect? No. Is it important that you are rushing? Yes, I believe it is important. Very well. If you believe that that is important, what is more important? Is it more important to rush and to generate that tension and that anxiety, or is it more important for you to feel content, to be relaxed, to digest your food, And to be healthy, is that more important, or is it more important to rush? Is it more important to meet that obligation, regardless of what it is? Any obligation can be changed. It is an appointment with my physician. I must be there on time. No. You can either be late, and they will either accept that, and if they don't accept that, you can change your appointment.
Yeah. That's simple, yeah.
Your world doesn't end with one choice. That is the point. Therefore, even though you are beginning at the end, even though it is already done, the difference is you are changing that energy. You aren't carrying it with you through the day. You aren't accumulating it. You are seeing it, and you are stopping it. And you are generating intentional choices. Isn't that the point? You want to live intentionally?
Yeah, that is.
You want to be intentionally directing? This is how you do it.
But see.
And eventually, and when I say eventually, eventually is not a long time. But eventually, that becomes more automatic. You don't have to stop and think about it.
And evaluate all the steps. Yeah, I understand.
Eventually, as quickly as you turned the corner and were spot on and evaluated a different choice, eventually you begin generating those types of choices automatically because you are more accustomed to being more aware of what you are doing rather than not being aware at all. And you begin to recognize that those choices that you are generating every day repeatedly, over and over, are actually the most important choices. Not whether you are buying a new car. Not whether you are buying a new house. Not where you go on vacation. These are actions, these are choices that you do very infrequently.
Okay, let me ask you this. Is an X, but at the same time, as I realize, okay, I feel that I'm out of control, that this little thing can be thrown out of control. Yeah, I know that's no control issue, and I know that I'm ruled by feelings and stuff, but I'm already upset. I'm already in the mood of no mood. How does this evaluation help me? Because I am already in this, I am kind of still blaming myself for putting myself into this situation.
But when you are reversing it, stop with the personal.
Stop even my own personal.
Yes,
stuff.
There is no personal. It isn't personal.
So just look
to
at
you.
This actually at scientific
yes.
experiment.
Yes.
Detached.
Yes.
Happen, it will pass. It will happen, it will pass. Yes. Look at it as a scientist.
Yes.
You
yes.
don't know, you just you see the result, but you can. Okay.
Yes. There is no personal. In that, the personal isn't coming from the other side. You aren't projecting it personal either. It isn't him.
Of course, yeah.
It
of course
is
it's him.
What you are feeling.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Your feelings are your own. In this, there is no personal on either side. Therefore, stop complicating and wasting your time with the judgment. I did something wrong. Or I did something bad.
Yeah.
Or I'm so angry at myself. Stop wasting your time with all of these judgments. Focus on the actual action and the energy. Yes, in a scientific manner.
I just should detach myself and look at myself like a specimen. Being in environment and relationship in an environment.
The amoeba's in a petri dish.
Yeah.
Personal.
Yes.
You are the amoeba's in the petri dish.
Right. I like it.
And there are different components that are being interjected into the petri dish. Mm-hmm. Or being thrown out of the petri dish. And you are observing what are the interactions.
Yeah. Great. Thank you so much, Elias.
You're very welcome. And you're being communicated.
Yes.
Obvious capacity.
Yes. Yes.
And that is an example. Does not matter what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
What matters is what I want to be doing.
Yes. Exactly. Good example.
Very well. I express tremendous lovingness to you, my friend.
Thank you.
You are getting it.
Thank you.
Acknowledge yourselves.
Thank you, Elias.
Great friendship and in wondrous lovingness to each of you. Au revoir.
Au revoir. Hello.
What? Okay, what are you doing over there?
Yes, Lapa.
Oh, Lapa, Lapa.
We were being communicated to.
Oh, communicated to.
She was whining and whining.
Oh, dear.
She hears Adam walking there.
Oh, of course.
Yes, she wants
that's
Adam.
Not very good. He's creating.